Blog Talk Radio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Turn it off, engineer. All right. The studio board is like... It paused for a minute. Sorry, folks. Anyways, welcome to Real Talk with Jacob Green, First Ladies Edition. Now, I'm your host, the man they call Jacob Green. Thank you for tuning in this evening or tonight. And before we get started on this broadcast, I want to remind everybody, spread the word of Real Talk through social media, blogs, forums, and spread it around like wildfire. Let everybody know that it's in session, baby. Woo! Tonight is going to be like, it's not as lengthy as the previous broadcast where I just have like a stale voice. And if it's stale from the beginning, I'm sorry. I try to raise up the, you know, just lower the bass, just raise the bass a little bit so that you don't hear this, this, that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to have an adaptable voice if I want to conduct any broadcast, for Christ's sake. Anyways, tonight's topic will be sources. And I'm not just talking about, like, sources as in what you may think. But if you thought of, well, these sources like from the web, Google, then you're on the right track. This tonight's topic will be primary sources versus secondary sources. Broadcast may extend to every other topic other than the First Ladies, but this is an important topic here as it relates to research. I mean, there's all kinds of sources that one can use. And you see, it could be anything, whether it's a wiki, and whether it's Wikipedia, whether it's government documents. Think about, like, podcasts that you've been listening to on BTR. That counts as a source, too. And e-books, and books, novels, anything like that. Now, there are differences between different types of sources by various factors, like content, and even where they come from, like whether it's the government, whether it's in the academic institution you're a part of, like your school or something. Or it could be like from media organizations, advocacy groups, any source. I mean, even commercial ones. So I want to make this clear that before we have any more discussions about First Ladies, we got to discuss like the differences between primary and secondary sources. You can help you out as though like you're trying to understand a First Lady or, any topic you think of for that matter. And, of course, I'll be focusing on the First Ladies for this particular broadcast, as hence the title. First Ladies in parentheses. So that's going to be the example I will use. Now, primary sources. And if y'all are confused about the differences between these sources, then think about, like, does your, if you're going to do research, think about, do you want primary sources? If you're not sure, then let me go through this with you. Now, first things first, the definitions. The primary sources are documents created at the time of research, any research subject, or about it. These documents are directly connected with the events or people being researched. Now, a secondary source is not primary. I mean, unlike the primary source, this is a document created at a later time than the event being researched by someone who did not have any experience of any said event. Like, for example, a commentator or a political analyst was to create an account on the inauguration of President Ronald Reagan, even though he may not be at the time of the inauguration to witness the events that happened on that day. These documents have no direct connection with the events or people being researched, other than, like, mentioning it and analyzing it. Now, you could say, well, what sources are falling under which category? Primary sources can include original research. If you ever read a diary or an academic journal or just a journal, that's primary too. Speeches and interviews count as though they deliver first-hand accounts on things experienced. Letters and memos and autobiographies and memoirs count. Books, articles written at the time of the event? Yes. Government documents, census statistics, organizational records, documentaries, like the Nancy Reagan documentary I mentioned in a previous broadcast, the second one. You can also see pictures, photographs, they count. Art, especially from that time period, not later. Maps from that time period. Internet communication, including listservs, servers, and emails. Any of these sources reprint the original format and language, you can use any of that to help you analyze what you're studying. Now, secondary sources can include encyclopedias, chronologies, biographies. You know, biographies like written by scholars who study about topics like Nancy Reagan, Betty Ford, public figures, including Abraham Lincoln. And anyways, monographs are specialized books or articles, and they're written by scholars. They count as secondary. Most journal articles you would find, like Nature Journal, or just academic journal in general, they were... Depending on whether they're written at the time of the event, you can also consider them as primary. You just have to look carefully at the language presented, plus who wrote that and when. Most published books can be considered secondary sources, unless they're written at the time of the event. And even the abstracts of articles count as secondary. Paraphrase quotations, dictionaries, and textbooks. It's very important to distinguish those when you look for sources out on a World Wide Web or outside of it. You may notice that the list of examples I've given for these sources, well, primary sources, is no longer than for secondary. I mean, don't let that fool you. While there may be more types of primary sources out there, secondary sources are the majority of documents you'll come across in everyday life. Now, you may wonder where and how to find primary sources. The Concordia University Texas Library, for example, offers some primary sources in print and microform formats. Now, to find such sources, a good way to start is by heading to an online catalog at library.cordia.edu. Try and add terms like memoir or diary to your search query. Searching the keyword autobiography is also often helpful. And once you have these sources, you can pretty much have a good start when you study about figures like Rosalind Carter or Nancy Reagan. I mean, those are good topics to research about, seriously. And if you want to have fun, if y'all are bronies and you want to study about your favorite characters, yeah, you may not find those in that library, for example. But plenty of wikis, just as long as you try to go by primary source material, like comments or TV episodes, I mean, it'll help you form your analysis. Now, if you're into print primary source examples, here's some of the examples of those source materials found in the Concordia University Texas Library. Like Andrew Carroll, who's the editor of War Letters, Extraordinary Correspondence from American Wars, that was printed in 2001. You know, the E-181-W273-2001. How about another example? E-173-M2. That's the documentary source book of American history from 1606 to 1913. Published in New York by the Macmillan Company in 1921 and edited by William McDonald. Now, if you know where I'm going with this, then I won't have to say more examples. But if you can't access those offline, then the Concordia University Texas Library, among other libraries across the country, like the Rogers Library at UACCB in Batesville, Arkansas, they provide access to many digital primary resources. Some primary sources are freely available on the Internet, while others you have to have some special access, like a subscription, pay a fee or something, register, whatever, if you want to access those sources. Now, there's plenty of websites you can go to at any academic university that will lead you to those sources. But I'm using the Concordia University Texas example so that, let me tell you something, folks, I was born in Texas on January 14th, 1992. I consider that a good old state of Texas. You can find the databases by visiting research database sections of the library website, including Concordia University of Texas. Now, one example was available is the New York Times historical database, available to you with a Concordia login on a research database sections of a library website. If you're studying history or political science or anything related to the First Lady, for example, or public figures, historical events that happen on certain days, certain periods, then this is a great place to find news articles written at the time of your research topic. American Memory. This consists of primary documents from the Library of Congress, chronicling America. The pages of 36 American newspapers from 1900 to 1910. Like, that's before World War I. The footnote has National Archives materials on the web. George Washington papers from the Library of Congress. That's the largest Washington collection in the world. It's like full-text primary sources. In the first person, this has lists of letters, diaries, oral histories, and personal narratives, most available for free, even though it's a commercial source. And now, my tip is that if you want to conduct research and you want to get information from reliable sources, make sure to check with your school, library, or government before you go to sources that have, well, advertising, anything that says, we're making money, you know, just trying to get money from ads. I mean, these tend not to be reliable. So that doesn't mean you can't use them either. You just got to be thinking carefully on which sources you would use. And, of course, the War of the Rebellion, that has full text primary sources dating back to 1880. Making of America, there's full text primary sources from American history. And World History Matters. And this is a good place if you want to talk about world history or write something in your paper, like about the Silk Road Trails or the Genghis Khan, the Renaissance era. Yeah, there are scholarly articles and primary documents that talk about these things in world history. Yeah. And, of course, no matter which citation method you start with, as long as you got good amount of sources for your topic, you'll have a bibliography to think about, to consider putting in your paper. Now, if you're evaluating a website in particular, then there's things to check on, like reliability and purpose. They could provide valuable information, but their credibility can be questionable if you do not analyze them carefully, or even analyze them at all. Just saying. I mean, it will help. Like, for example, if let's say you encounter a website that has general information about the presidency or the executive branch of the United States government, and your focus is on the first ladyship. Whoever wrote the article on the website may have a good idea about the presidency, but it's just trivial general information. If you're looking for specific information, let's say whether that a certain amount of power goes to which lady or something, you wouldn't want to use that for a paper, not unless you want background information. So I would suggest going for scholarly articles and even government documents, because these tend to reveal the specifics. That's the beauty of research, is that you'll go beyond the smoke screen and you get to evaluate the author of the source, plus also who sponsors which website, whether the certain work is dedicated to a certain audience or has a particular purpose, plus whether it's relevant to your work or whether it's limited to a certain time period. And here's the thing. If you're going to go for online websites, like to search for any topic, then just ask yourself a question. How current is the site? And how current are the site's links? You can usually scroll to the bottom of a website of online source and view the date. Just as you look for the copyright information on the book, there's usually a date indicating when it's published. If many of the links you find on the internet no longer work and you try to access it, the site may be too big for your purposes. And when I say read with an open mind and critical eye, then I'm speaking about critical thinking, which is also an important component in research. Now, online or offline, there are more objective sources than others. If you want to explore conspiracy theories surrounding things like John F. Kennedy's assassination, you wouldn't look into a supermarket tabloid for answers. I mean, even publications that are considered reputable can be editorially biased, like USA Today, Times, National Review, even the Washington Post. They're all credible sources that are likely interpret events quite differently from one another. If you're uncertain about a periodical's special interests, consult the magazines for libraries. Bias can come in all forms and in all shapes, so you got to be aware of who's speaking what. I mean, not every side of the political spectrum gets covered, for example, when you talk about things of a political nature or religious that can affect objectivity. And if an author or publisher is associated with a particular clique, a group, or a particular cause, then that's a sign of bias. And if there's little no alternative views presented and addressed, and if there's no fair treatment, or if the authors treat opposing views like they're garbage, that's also a sign of bias. People can talk about things differently, and they have their own set of arguments, which are statements that emphasize use of facts and to back up opinions, basically. If you're looking at assessing an argument on any source that will help you conduct your research, try to look for a claim or thesis that is central. Like, how does the author support the claim? What relevant and sufficient evidence is there? Or whether there's some anecdotes or emotional examples? Are the statistics consistent with those that you encounter in other sources? Are they fairly used? Does the author explain where statistics come from? You know, politicians can fudge numbers, for example, to make it look good. It's possible to lie with statistics by using them selectively or by omitting mathematical details. And they say that math does not lie, but people lie when they use math in a certain way. I mean, that's very manipulative in nature. And the things to also look for, like whether there's any assumptions that you can question. I mean, it's all right to question everything that you're reading or seeing. It's just the way you need to do that is what matters. Like, does an author consider opposing arguments and refute them persuasively? Does the author fall prey to any logical errors? I mean, if people's reasonings are different. If you see or hear or notice a flaw in any of the sources you see, you could try offer a rebuttal like in a different paper than a research one, unless you're taking a section toward sources, besides having a bibliography, which is a list of sources that you have investigated for your research. Now, the American First Ladies do require archival research, and like I said, there's plenty of archives in the areas of history and politics that serves as a collection. But hold on a second.
What's going on, man?
One of Templeton's friends just acted up. But don't mind, okay? I'm not in control of this, all right? Anyways, let's see. So that's all part of evaluating all sources with a critical eye. You do not let your personal beliefs prevent you from listening to new ideas and opposing viewpoints. I have to knock on the wall this time because that dog doesn't. I mean, it's just a puppy. I mean, really. But like I said, just ignore this. It doesn't really matter. That dog. Anyways. Like I said, do not let your emotions cloud your judgment here. Your research question, not a snap judgment about the question, should guide your read. I mean, when you read critically, you're not necessarily judging an author's work harshly. You're simply examining its assumptions, assessing its evidence, and weighing its conclusions. That's all part of being like, if you listen to a true capitalist radio broadcast, in which Ghost talks about, say, markets, the business, the economy, anything political in nature. If you see anything wrong with that, it's all right to question that. Because we're learning. We're trying to learn even for ourselves on whether Ghost is a reliable source in case you want to use him for your research. So, yeah, you can go ahead and do that if you want. But, yeah. Okay, and if you're looking for scholarly sources, there's a way to do it. Like, look at the formal language and presentation. Whether someone uses a jargon will determine whether that source is a scholarly source. Plus, check the author's credentials. Those academics or scientists tend to know what they talk about since they happen to be the experts of their fields. And they study, they go through courses through certain topics. That to me sounds like reliability is in check. You can also check their footnotes or bibliography documenting the words cited by the author in the source. You can check whether there's original research and interpretation, rather than just a summary or other people's words. You can also look for quotations from an analysis of primary sources, especially like, for example, humanities disciplines such as literature, history, and philosophy. These require analysis of works. Like if you have a certain position or you have your own thoughts and insights as to what you're studying, then there's analysis. And you can also check the description of research methods or review of related research in the sciences and social sciences. And I mean natural sciences in the first one. This, you know, not everything's about human society. There's even a world beyond humans, which is what natural sciences will address too. Now, with that out of the way, if you know the difference between primary and secondary sources, then they'll help you contribute to your understanding of any topic. Even if it's politics, even if it's about philosophy, even if it's about just whatever topic. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. All right. And let's see, we got three callers on the queue, and if you want to call and give your insights onto what your thoughts are about primary and secondary sources and research itself, any topic related to that, whether it's any topic under research, or simply you want to just talk to me about something, just give me a call at 347-855-8578. That's 347-855-8578. That's the number to call here. Anyways, we got less than 3 minutes, so let's get to the calls, shall we? We got 973. What do you think about primary versus secondary sources?
Hey there, this is Uncle Bernie. I want you to take your underwears off. Wait. Oh, yeah.
No. I'm going to have to cut him off early because we're not having this disgusting sexual fetish gratification going on here. No. Hold on a sec. Sorry, it was a migraine or headache. Let's see, what else we got here? We got 111, you're on the air. Yeah, you're taking too long. 574, you're on the air. What do you think about primary sources versus secondary sources?
Well, I don't have too many thoughts on it, but I was just making sure things were going okay. You know, this is King Ed Undead. I don't have too many thoughts on it. I just want to say that I was about to kick this 186-point deuce person, but he just left.
Yeah, I did see his number come up on the queue when I was talking about, the value of research and sources, the differences between them.
Yeah.
Plus
by any chance, did you share this with this show with Goofy Bone or what?
What? Goofy Bone?
Did you share this show with...
Uh-oh.
You didn't?
Because
apparently...
I didn't say Goofy Bone.
I know... But Goofy Bone was just in the chat. And then he was like, Goofy Bone in the house. And then he just left. I don't think it was him. I'm thinking it was just that stupid and boring old troll just pulling our legs. And I really don't care about Goofy Bone, to be honest.
Yeah, I used to be on his show a few times before. But in the end, I mean, I just don't give a crap about him a lot since he doesn't consistently appear in past broadcasts. I mean,
yeah,
he hasn't created new episodes since then.
I see. But yeah, I don't have too many thoughts. I don't know. I wasn't really listening. I was actually making a vaporwave track, but I was just making sure things were going okay with you and that the show was going all right. because we might hire more people as if I go premium. So I also want to leave out with this. I am possibly going to do a soda battle tomorrow. I don't know, man. Soda battle broadcast. Because I have that, because it's really overdue. So
yeah,
I might
no
do
problem,
that. Man. Well, anyways, I hope you have a good rest of your day. But yeah, just to remind people about that. Anyways, see you guys later.
Hey, let's see you. Thank you for calling, Eddie Hinkle, a.k.a. King Edward Undead. Yeah, everything is going well in the past, week or two, despite all the troll calls that I get. And, of course, we're in the after show, so it's just pretty much open season at this point. I don't know why Goofy Bone is here. I mean, that's just random of Goofy Bone to appear in what appears to be the Blog Talk Radio chat room. And what's going on to Blackjack Capitalist, by the way? You get a shout-out. Yeah, he gets a shout-out, for Christ's sake. Anyways, not much I could talk about other than there was the ways that you can evaluate sources and look for them. It's just that you got to be really careful when doing those things. Because if you pick up the wrong source and if you don't have many credible ones, then any thesis, any argument you're making through your paper can fall flat with so many errors. And if anybody can do that, then even somebody who's, even a businessman can do some research. Why do you think ghosts know so much about politics and business? He ain't fooling around when he's looking for sources and evaluating them. Even if he's wrong in some things, but that doesn't mean he's not capable of doing research. So keep this in mind when you talk about things like first ladies or any topic. And I can't stress that enough. Any topic. Let's see. Of course, if you're also interested in Bernie Sanders, for example, you might also have the opportunity to conduct archival research. Looking at his biography, but I would not recommend use Wikipedia for that. I mean, that's just not really a good way to do research. If I add something that could generally, like, you can edit things. Anyone can edit a wiki. Just keep that in mind. Now, as far as Bernie Sanders, there's speeches you can find, well, as some records during his time as a senator. Plus, he had a presidential campaign website you can go to. And legislation sponsored, plus financial information, the advocacy contributions by campaign, individuals and groups that funded the campaigns of Bernie Sanders. Yeah, that includes Feel the Burn supporters in the 2016 Democrat National Convention. Or before that. Well, I'm speaking of is the entire campaign. If you wish to make that a topic of your focus, then by all means, go ahead. Plus, his book now can serve as a primary source, assuming that it's written at the time of the convention. But if not, it's secondary. There's plenty of secondary sources you can find that relates to Bernie Sanders. You just have to look for them. Now, you can also go ahead and find those in the database, like JSTOR. But, all right, that's enough of that. And speaking of Bernie Sanders, I wonder what he has to say about, you know, me mentioning his work or anything of that nature. Let's go ahead and get to Bernie. Bernie, you're on the air.
Well, you're doing some wonderful research. You've done a wonderful job. You know, you might as well feel the boing, but you cannot even feel the boing because you're not with George Soros. After all, join George Soros. So we must take our underwears off and relax and thank Uncle Bernie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. You know what? This is what he did to any supporter of Bernie Sanders. He ripped them off. You know, he told them to take their underwears off of something of that nature. I mean, ghost is right about him, you know. But the thing is, they give due credit to Bernie Sanders for being an independent, even though you mean Democratic and socialist at times. And, of course, that at least... before he was found out to be a fraud, at least he has the impression of being a populist, just like Donald Trump in the Republican side. I'll give him credit for that. But as far as him being a pervert or any of that, are you kidding me? Disgusting. I will not take my underwears off for any of the characters like that. Not even Master Roshi from Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. I never encounter any first lady who is going to be a pervert. It would be record-breaking in history had any of them been like that. But that would violate the historical framework of first ladies, though. Anyways, anything can happen. Let's go to another caller. 111, you're on the air.
All right, I won.
No contest.
Wait, contest? I just won.
Fuck you, snake.
You want to throw down? Because I'll throw down.
Ganondorf. Great snake.
What? Ah! You son of a bitch.
Get the keyless.
You are a sick freak.
Snake versus Captain Falcon. And Bowser. And Charizard. And Lucario. And Samus.
Dear God, what have I done?
Wow. Looks like Snake from Metal Gear Solid really has competition. And he doesn't want to partake in any of those fights. But if he was obligated to conduct those fights, then what choice do he have? He has to obey his superiors unless he's unconventional this way. If you heard references of Snake and the Bots, you'll know that's Metal Gear Solid, all right? This is like the game, for those of you who are not aware, that this is a game that takes place in the alternate historical timeline in which the Cold War would experience mech robots. Yep, the mech-like robots in addition to helicopters, tanks, and aircraft. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's take another call from Bernie Sanders, and don't be surprised if he acts a little iffy or edgy lately, but who knows? Let's go to Bernie Sanders, feel the burn. You are on the air.
Oh, Jacob, I'm with Bernie Sanders right now. We should sore fight while we're in the toilet. Well, I want to join in, too, because I want to join. You know, that would be a wonderful idea. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, since when did the internet butt stalker live with Bernie Sanders? What the crap? I don't know what's happening right now. But if Bernie Sanders was to have a gay lover, then why doesn't that get reported by the Drudge or something? I mean, seriously, what's up with this crap? Jesus Christ. What else we got here? We got 111, you're on the air. 111. Thank you. type of music you got there, man. Well, it's our Hots or somebody who acquired some audio clip was playing that on the live broadcast. I mean, well, that's a nice change of pace. Congrats, man. What else we got? Oh, Jesus Christ. You see, when you get like two or three callers and you don't get many more, unless you go into premium, then you get like probably five or six callers per show if it stays that way. All right, let's get to another call. Let's see, Bernie or just 973, you're on the air.
Oh, right now I'm going to ask my friend to play Toby Keith. You know, I want him to take his underwear off and show it to you. After all, Jacob, I'm right here with Bernie.
Yeah, we know. We know. You're like butt buddies. I mean, we get it. I mean, you don't have to necessarily spill it out. I mean, the past callers, I mean, even the Capitalist Army members can tell, all right? It's the fruitiness that encompasses the dang socialist reality. I mean, it's fair to say that even the Soviet Union was to have some gays in their ranks, or citizens that are. I mean, if that were true and they don't persecute these people, then this underscores the cultural Marxism that America almost completely succumbed under. Thank God that Donald Trump is in office. We'll experience the decline of socialism at this point. As long as Trump does everything to make it great again, and by it, I mean America. As long as the, you know, leftists, the liberals, I mean, as long as the leftists, the politicians, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, and anyone who supports them, as long as they're bitching and whining and loafing Donald Trump, it'll be the same thing as it happened during Abraham Lincoln's presidency. They'll become enemies, and they will start to become irrelevant in future histories, like with the Confederacy. Let's just go through 111 because of timing. You're on here. Well, that's a Toby Keith remix, I believe. If it's a satanic remix, then I go, bleh, bleh. But other than that, all right, I'll give you points for, like, something other than a ridiculous statement here. Now, I got to end this broadcast here. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next broadcast, whether it's in Thursday or Friday this week. Same place, same time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I'll tune in and I'll talk to you guys later. Good night, everybody. Study hard, but not too hard. And I'm out of here. Good night.